CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Queen Elizabeth II, 70 years on the throne. I welcome Conrad Black. Conrad is a member of the Parliament, the House of Lords. He is also a distinguished biographer and a Canadian, and he's here to explicate the article he's posted at the National Post to praise Queen Elizabeth II. Conrad, Queen Elizabeth is not someone we're taught in grade school in the 20th century. Her role, when she assumed it, was to define her role. There was no easy way forward for a monarch following the Second War, and especially for a monarch who was the mother and the wife of a family she had to raise at the same time. 70 years later, your praise of her, is it joined by people in Canada, by people in the United States and throughout the Commonwealth? Is everyone applauding in your measure? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. I think she is almost universally respected and admired as a person. There are those who are not monarchists who are in the Commonwealth, and I in the piece you kindly mentioned, I did say that the idea of a non-residential monarchy, as we have here, I mean, she is officially the Queen of Canada as well as the United Kingdom and some other places, and of course, you know, we see her a few days every couple of years. And she's very conscientious about signing things and sending messages and so on. But the idea of a non-residential monarchy in an advanced G7 country like this one over time, I think there's some questions about that. But people who are Republicans at heart or who have reservations about existing arrangements, I think are united in saying that she has performed to the highest standards of duty anyone could ask. In 70 years in that difficult position, she has never put a foot wrong. She's never said anything embarrassing, anything she had to retract, anything that led to controversy. When there have been public relations problems for the royal family, they have not come from her, none of them, not once. There have been problems with some of her children, and occasionally the late Prince Philip, her husband, Duke of Edinburgh, was a little undiplomatic in things he says, often entertainingly so. But she has a completely unblemished record. And after 70 years, I think everybody is really in awe of that fact. And, you know, as other countries do, the British have polling organizations, and they show that her approval rating is steadily above 80%. And I've just never heard of that anywhere else in a serious country.
She inherited the role when her father died very young. I didn't realize until I read your piece, he was 56 years old. That's middle age. That's right. Young middle age today to us.
He was a very heavy smoker, and he died of lung cancer.
Was she prepared at that moment, or was this learning on the job? These many decades later, has she talked about that? Has anybody written about it?
Yes, and it's somewhat seen in that series, The Crown, as well, which many of your listeners would have watched. Because his health was declining after the war, she was born in 1926. So starting in 46 or 47, she was brought forward to take over some of these events. And indeed, when the king died, she was on tour in Kenya. And his last public appearance was seeing them off at the airport about a week before he died. So it was known then that she would be the next monarch, and it had been known for some time. So the answer is yes. King George VI, and I'm sure you remember the late Queen Mother, this Queen's mother,
yes,
who died about 20 years ago at the age of over 100. They advanced the present queen, quickly and brought her into things and, you know, gave her a sense of what it is that she would be doing.
Another detail in your essay, you point to something that, again, was skipped in my education, which is, what is the queen's relationship, responsibilities, duties for the Commonwealth of all the republics, the 54-state organization? What does she do for it?
There is a Commonwealth secretariat that presides over the administration of a lot of development assistance and a range of interchanges culturally and transfers of money to assist some of the developing countries. She's not the operational head of that organization, but she is, as head of the Commonwealth, she is sort of on top of all of that. And she gets around to all these Commonwealth countries as invited, and they're always inviting her, you see. And in what used to be called, well, what we could call the old Commonwealth, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, she is separately the queen of those countries individually, as she is of the UK. But in the republics like India, for example, they have a president who is the chief of state, but she does have a status because it is a Commonwealth member. She's not a member of the government of India, but she has a status. This is a very rough parallel, but like the Secretary General of the United Nations would have of, for argument's sake, Turkey or something. I mean, she has a standing to go there and be there and be involved, but it's through Commonwealth connection.
She's the head of the Church of England, I believe. The Supreme Governor is what you report.
That's right.
And that institution has weathered the storm of many centuries. Is it today considered a tolerant and welcoming church under the Queen's management?
I believe it is, yes. You know, this goes back to King Henry VIII, who, when he could not get a divorce, simply seceded from the Roman Catholic Church and seized all their cathedrals and monasteries and all their property in England, and declared it was the Church of England and that he was the head of it.
Right.
And the title Defender of the Faith was originally given to him in respect of a paper the renowned philosopher Erasmus wrote for him in favor of the papacy and the Counter-Reformation. But Henry VIII liked the title Defender of the Faith so much, he had his parliament reconfer it upon him, and that has been a title of every British monarch since then. And but in practice, she is not she's not a member of the clergy, and she's not a theologically qualified person, but she has that title, and she does ultimately decide who the senior archbishops are in the Church of England. I think it's fair to say that it is regarded as a fair-minded and open-minded church. It's sort of midway between the Catholics and the non-Episcopal Protestants, like Presbyterians and Methodists and so on. And it has been controversial at times in its history, but the last time, I think, was when the Archbishop of Canterbury disapproved of the coronation of King Edward VIII because of his liaison with a thrice-divorced woman. In general, the Anglican Church is not overly controversial in Britain, and I think it's quite well-regarded, even by people who aren't religiously minded themselves.
70 years on the throne, Conrad, and she has a few more to go, I would think.
Looks like it.
Makes sense.
Well, her mother lived to be 102, I think, and she could do that.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post in praise of Queen Elizabeth, 70 years on the throne, describing my life and Conrad's life, except for a few years there at the beginning. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,